Translation and purport by His Divine Grace is confounder Acharya A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Once there was Sankirtan festival to glorify the Supreme Lord in an assembly of demigods, and the Gandharvas and Apsaras were invited by the Prajapatis to take part in it. Purport. Sankirtan means chanting of the holy name of the Lord. The Hare Krishna movement is not a new movement, as people sometimes mistakenly think. The Hare Krishna movement is present in every millennium of Lord Brahma's life, and the holy name is chanted in all the higher planetary systems, including Brahmaloka and Chandraloka, not to speak of Gandharvaloka and Apsaraloka. The Sankirtan movement that was started in this world 500 years ago by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is therefore not a new movement. Sometimes, because of our bad luck, this movement is stopped, but Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his servants again start the movement for the benefit of the entire world, or indeed the entire universe. Om Agena Timirandasya Genanjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Ena Tasmei Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manabhishtam Stapitam Ena Bhuttale Svayam Rupa Kadambayam Dadati Svam Padantikam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. With the permission of all the senior Vaishnavas assembled here, I would like to share some humble realizations concerning this particular verse of the beautiful Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam. This is instructions given to Yudhishthir by Narada Muni. And it is called Instructions for Civilized Human Beings. It's basically very confidential and very elevated wisdom has been laid down before Yudhishthir. So Narada Muni is one of the gurus of the universe, and he is laying down the Siddhanta, or the essence, for guidelines for human beings how to behave and how to achieve perfection. So here in this particular verse, Narada Muni actually is using his own life. In fact, this whole section about giving an example of how actually one can be influenced or degraded by different associations, and how if one does not apply the universal principles or work or live according to them, gradually one's consciousness becomes affected. So he tells his story how he was actually a great singer in Gandharvaloka, and he happened to go to this Kirtan festival, Sankirtan festival, to glorify the Supreme Lord. However, being influenced by various devatas and various entities that were present there, he was chanting glorification of different demigods. And of course he was cursed to become a Shudra in on planet Earth due to that by the Prajapati. So this curse, sometimes there's many curses in the Bhagavatam, but we always see that these curses, especially by devotees, turn to be great blessings. So Narada Muni ultimately, taking birth on earth, he associated with pure devotees, Bhaktivedantas, as explained in the first canto, and then he achieved perfection, purity of heart. He was awarded the darshan of the Lord, and gradually he became who we know Narada Muni to be today. Basically, one of the foundational spiritual masters in the universe. So, we can learn from this story that we have to be very careful about our associations, and we have to always focus on the principles laid down by the Shastra, by the spiritual masters and the sadhus. If we live in that way, we will always be protected from unfortunate experiences that may slow us down in our progress. Perhaps if Narada Muni did not get influenced, if he chanted Harinam Sankirtan at that point, you would have been much quicker delivered to the spiritual world. However, he took the detour, and then, as we heard, the curse of the Prajapatis became a special blessing. So, in this particular verse or purport, Srila Prabhupada is stressing the validity of this Sankirtan movement, and Prabhupada is emphasizing how this Sankirtan movement is actually not something new. Sometimes people ask us, how old is this Hare Krishna movement? And sometimes we kind of say, well, it's about 500 years old. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started it. In one sense, it's correct, but in another sense, from the broader picture that we are given here by Srila Prabhupada, we understand that Sankirtan movement is being just restarted again by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And of course, this Sankirtan movement today is a very special Sankirtan movement. It's the Prem Nam Harinam Sankirtan movement, because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving mercy that access to Vrindavan, to Raja Bhakti, to Krishna Prema that was not given at any other time in the life of Brahma. In this particular Brahma, Krishna Prema has not been given. So it looks contradictory in one sense that the movement is old, but also it's new because of the flavor that Mahaprabhu is giving of this Raja Bhakti. So it is very new also in one sense in this context. However, we want to look at what Prabhupada is saying here in the purport, that the movement is very old. He says that the Hare Krishna movement is present in every millennium of Lord Brahma's life, which is actually every day of Brahma. I think this is the correct version. As we know, the time, the Vedic time, is not linear time, as accepted by modern science, that the universe has a beginning and perhaps an end, and that will be the end of existence. Also, the Abrahamic traditions, they present that there was a creation and there is maintenance, there will be destruction, and then this world will cease to exist. While the Vedic conclusion, Siddhanta is explaining that we have a cyclical time frame where we see a constant repetition of creation, maintenance, destruction, and then creation, maintenance, destruction. So there is partial devastations called pralaya, and then at the end of Brahma's day, there is a partial devastation. Lord Brahma is the chief entity in the universe, so his time frame is very different from ours, like 1 year of Brahma's time, or 1 minute of Brahma's time is like 1 year of ours. So it is relative. But when Lord Brahma's day passes and there is a pralaya, there is a partial devastation, then in the next day of Brahma, this Sankirtan movement is introduced again, which is actually a very long duration of time, because if we calculate that 1 minute of Brahma's time is 1 year of ours, we can actually see how long is Brahma's day and how long will be his night. So Prabhupada is emphasizing that this movement is not new, and this adds to its importance, because if something is actually eternally existing and it's just appearing and disappearing, that means that the message that the Sankirtan movement is carrying is something very, very important, because it continues to reoccur and reappear again and again. So we accept this conclusion of the Bhagavatam because it's given by the pure devotees of the Lord, and we trust them, because if we trust any authorities, that will be trust in the pure devotees of the Lord, because of their pure behavior example in this world. Modern day people trust sometimes academic authorities, but most academic authorities can't really be trusted, because there is a lot of personal motivation involved in academics. There's a lot of money, and basically people can say anything to get money. Like, I have one, it's not really a friend, but a person who I know in South Africa, and he's an astrophysicist, and he's a professor, and he writes different theories and things like that, and getting paid for that. So I asked him, so how do you make your theories? He said to me, to be honest, I just write some nonsense and I get paid for it. You know, I just speculate about things and I get paid for it. So, and his life is actually a disaster. His son became a drug addict. He got divorced, and he's attached to drinking. So who should we trust, you know? The pure devotee or persons like that? Of course, we will trust a person with pure character. So the Bhagavatam is presented by such devotees, and therefore, although we may not be able to see with our eyes whether the time is really cyclical or not, we can actually accept the words of the pure devotees, and in that way use our logic and intelligence to understand reality. Srila Jiva Goswami explains that Vaishnav Siddhanta is established by Shabda Brahman, number one. Number two, we use our senses, and number three is logic. So these are the three pramanas, or means of deriving knowledge or evidence. So we are not rejecting sense perception, which is the main tool for the scientists. We're not rejecting intellectual pursuit, which is logic, but we're placing them on a secondary position compared to accepting Shabda Brahman. And in that way, if our sensual sense perception, to say, and our intellectual perception is in line with Shastra, then we understand that these perceptions can be used to explain certain phenomena to people, or to kind of reaffirm our own faith into whatever scripture is saying. So in that way, we can appreciate the value of this Srimad Bhagavatam. And the value of Srimad Bhagavatam is that if we read the Srimad Bhagavatam, we become purified. Our heart becomes purified of illusion, of misconceptions and misperceptions. Now, Srila Prabhupada is stating at the end of this purport that this Sankirtan movement is for the benefit of the entire world, or indeed for the entire universe. So now, how do we understand this? How do we understand that this movement is for the benefit of the entire world? Isn't it just a sentimental movement of singing and dancing? Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was accused by Prakasananda Sarasvati and his followers that this Chaitanya, he's just a sentimentalist. He's just dancing and chanting. He's not really studying the Vedanta. Therefore, whatever he's doing is contrary to self-realization and contrary to our benefit as human beings to realize who we are and what we're doing in this world. And of course, we understand from Shastra that Mahaprabhu was able to debate with Prakasananda Sarasvati and convince them of the validity of this movement. And of course, Prakasananda Sarasvati and all his disciples joined Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, despite their initial perspective about the sadhana or the practice of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, from this story, we can understand that although the chanting of the holy name looks something very simple and very almost sentimental, it actually has the effect of purifying the atmosphere and bringing people back to their senses. In a sense, understanding that we are not the body, we are actually spiritual entities, and that we, the goal of life is to develop a relationship with Krishna, with the supreme source of everything, the supreme person. So this is tremendous purification if one actually realizes that. At the moment, our society is in a dire straits, a condition. We've got a tremendous deformed philosophies that have been accepted as the worldview of the mainstream society. And we expected as followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada to somewhat bring sense to the people, just as Mahaprabhu brought sense to Prakasananda Sarasvati and his followers. That is actually what is expected from us in this particular time. Now, there is tremendous philosophical speculations, and as we know, the philosophical basis or the worldview of a person informs the person's thinking. The thinking leads to a specific type of willing. The willing leads to action. The action leads to specific results, and the result leads to a responsibility. It's very scientific. So if the worldview of people is deformed, Shastra is saying that this is the Vaishnava Siddhanta is accepting devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be the most natural way of living. But the Siddhanta, or the conclusion of the materialistic society, is that there is no God, devotional service is not required. In fact, what is required is the survival of the fittest, which means that we should become conquerors of nature rather than servants of God and servants of nature. We should manipulate, we should control, we should force things according to what we want to do. So this is the modern paradigm, and when people think like this, then from the paradigm they're thinking and they're acting in a certain way, and there is a specific result. So when we look at our society, we can see that although they are pursuing happiness by divorcing themselves from scripture or from Shastra, their happiness is just illusory, in a sense that we can observe the statistics that are there in the world in terms of how people are achieving what they were hoping to achieve. And we see that we have tremendous disaster in every single area, economic disaster, social disasters, environmental disaster, on every level, international conflicts, etc. So this type of paradigm really doesn't bring even healthy exchanges, interactions on a material level, what to speak of, you know, spiritual. They don't even include the spiritual level. So this Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is meant to bring people back to their senses. And it is very difficult to talk to people about these things because people have become set in their ways. Recently I was on a tour in Bulgaria trying to travel and share Krishna consciousness with as many people as possible for about 2 months. And the general observation that I have, that people have become very fixed up on the idea that nobody can be an authority, there is no God, because nobody knows, nobody has seen him, nobody can be an authority, everyone is looking for flat structures where everyone can say what they want and do what they want. And for them, our Siddhanta, the Siddhanta of Bhagavatam, is very difficult to understand. It's very, very difficult for the modern mind because they are completely force-fed into such type of thinking. So, the majority of people, and even if they hear, and even if they don't, some people may not kind of argue with the philosophy, they will still just say, well, this is your relative perspective, you know. And if they're a polite and nice person, you know, they won't say anything. They'll say, this is your relative perspective. So a lot of the people, or most of the people today, they think that everything is relative. There is no absolutes. You see like this, he's seeing like that, the other person, everything is relative. So it's like a tremendous nihilism in the world. And when we examine their life, their wife is relative, you know, so they can go to any other lady or any other man. They do everything, basically, in a sense. They just try to liberate themselves from any norms, healthy norms, in general. So, we have the increasing of the phenomenon of loners. I don't know if you have read about it, but with the progress of Kali Yuga, you know, the family became destroyed, more or less, almost non-existent. There is hardly any weddings all over the world. It's very few here and there. And people started living together, you know, as partners. Nowadays, the new phenomenon that is spreading around the world is, you know, even partnership is not feasible because it becomes difficult. It's constraining to deal with another person. So people started to, you know, live alone. This is called the phenomenon of loners. And it's very becoming prominent in Europe. It started in Europe. And according to statistics, about 40% of the people in Sweden, the young people, prefer to stay alone rather than live and share with a partner. Japan is 36, America 29, and it's spreading more and more and more. So, so we can see that there is a tremendous shift in society and the problems are increasing more and more. Although their philosophy is supposed to be evolved, they have moved away from religion, from scripture, from, they think we have evolved, we have progressed. And we are liberating ourselves from all these dogmas and rules. They hate rules and dogmas. So why don't you drink alcohol, you know? Do you have to follow a rule? You know, that's how they ask. It's very interesting. They really don't like rules. They don't understand that these principles that we follow are the principles of freedom, that you become really liberated. So you become liberated from suffering because the so-called happiness they're expecting by alcohol or whatever illicit behavior really leads to suffering. So we have a tremendous responsibility to find a way to present the movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a way that the people can be attracted to chant the holy name. And I found something very interesting, that what really works is not really philosophy, it's just kirtan. You go into a park like Prabhupada did, you start chanting, and then they come and they sit and they start to chant. It's just amazing. So in my hometown, I did kirtans almost every night, and there were many people, up to 20 sometimes, coming to hear. And some of them are heavy metals, hippies, all kind of people. And they just come and sit. And if you give them the mantra, they start to sing it. It's just amazing. So really, this Sankirtan movement is not something sentimental. This holy name purifies the consciousness. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It purifies the consciousness, and then the person becomes gradually more eligible to understand the Siddhanta, the conclusion, the scriptural guidelines, to accept them and to value them. Initially, if you try to first go the other way around, teaching philosophy, they'll never appreciate it. So what I'm trying to say is that we have to do more Harinam. We have to do more Kirtan. We have to go out and chant in public nicely, present it nicely, use different instruments. I sometimes use guitar, and people are attracted to the guitar, and they just come, and because it's guitar, they hear. And it's, especially if you're alone, you know, it's difficult to, play just kartals or just mridanga. People like mridanga as well. They're very attracted. In general, they like instruments. So if some music is going on and some people gather, two or three people, then immediately more and more will come and join. So we have to do kirtan. Sometimes we forget that this is one of our primary, it's our primary duty to go out and chant the holy name. So when I was in South Africa, Jai Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Gaur Premanande. When I was in South Africa, there is one Namahata devotees. So I kind of became friend with them, and I was observing what they do. So I asked them, are you doing Harinam? They said, no, we just get together, we do some program, Namahata, every Friday night, and that's it. So I said to them, are you really in the Sankirtan movement? You know, what is Sankirtan movement? It means to go out and chant in public. So because we have a friendship with them, they kind of became inspired. So I told them, okay, let's go on Harinam together. And we did two or three times. I took them while I was there. And then I asked them, just try to keep it up as much as possible and at least go once a week for 1 hour. And then a few devotees chant, maybe five devotees, and two or three distribute books, flyers, something like that. So we did three Harinams like this, and the effect was tremendous on them as well as on the public. The people were happy. Some drunkards came out of the restaurants to chant. Some people were gambling in these gambling houses, you know, where they, I don't know, betting on horses or what they do on the screens, TV screens, and all. So they came out, they heard the Harinam. One person came out and he was chanting Ram, 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 and he was an Indian gentleman. Then he never went back. He just went home. So, and then a lot of books were distributed in that way because people are attracted and they feel inspired from within the heart. The super soul probably saying, take this book, you know, it's good for you. So he just takes the book. And in that way, if we do Harinam, if we do Sankirtan, we feel enlivened. Of course, for that purpose, we need to have very strong sadhana. Because if we don't have strong sadhana, then we can't really have an effect on the consciousness of others. We have to work on ourselves and pray to Krishna to use us, to force us. Pray to Srila Prabhupada to keep us busy in his service despite our lack of qualification in some cases like mine. Just pray for the mercy to be engaged in this Sankirtan movement. And there is tremendous miracles that will happen by that. So in other words, we have to, Prabhupada would like us to mold our life in a such a way that we invest some little time, at least once a week, to go on Harinam, all of us. Somehow or other, just make some time, once a week, go out on Harinam with some existing Harinam party, or just make your own Harinam party with some other devotees. Just do it. In Australia, one devotee, every single day, at least last year when I was there, was standing alone with cartels on one corner, and he was chanting Hare Krishna alone. So one other devotee asked him, Prabhu, why are you doing this? You're just alone every day chanting. He said, well, I'm chanting to get purified, and also, you know, whoever hears this holy name, they get blessed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They get purified. They advance. So the principle of the Sankirtan movement is really making a sacrifice for the benefit of others. Because the more we make in the sacrifice, the more selfless we become, the more empowered we become to help others, to revolutionize their consciousness, to allow them to become purified and see that Bhagavatam is important, that these values, scriptural principles that are given, what will make them happy, what will bring them to sanity, what will bring them to really living a successful life. And in that way, they will take us seriously, more seriously. Some people already do. But in fact, we are meant to increase our influence with time, not decrease it. And that depends on our own surrender to Krishna. Because, you know, as we surrender unto Him, He rewards us accordingly. So, to conclude, we take some questions. It is very, very important that we keep trying. It may take years, but there will be an effect. I'll use my humble example again. I'm just nothing. I'm just a useless fellow. But 5 years I've been doing some preaching in Bulgaria, in my hometown in particular. And there was a time I was like completely desperate, you know. Nothing is happening. You know, someone comes, one person or another person, after some time, they move to another city or another country. There's no continuation. But I kept praying, Krishna, please send me someone to help me. Please send someone to help me. Because I have to do something here. My Guru Maharaj asked me to preach there. So, year after year, year after year, I'm doing festivals, Ratha Yatras, concerts, so many things to involve the people in some spiritual activity. And then finally, this few months ago, about 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 people just came, let us help you now. So we opened a little center. They can start meeting every Saturday or Sunday. They will have some kirtan. They're learning instruments. We arrange for them mridangas, kartals, harmonium, everything. There's the Bhagavatam. There is Prabhupada's books, you know, it's just amazing how, you know, you just try and try and try and try and try and you just hope and then things are happening. So let us not give up, although it's so difficult, I know. And Krishna will reciprocate if we just remain focused, become more and more humble and more eager to really become an instrument of Srila Prabhupada, of the Acharyas, then definitely there will be effect. So please give us your blessing that we could continue in that way, very humbly serving, and in fact dying on the battlefield in that way, because we don't want anything else. We want to be just like Srila Prabhupada did, although in some small, insignificant way. So, Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.